Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah, where we explore together the gift of our identity as daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world. I am Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy.
And we are so happy that you're joining us again today for our next episode. We talked a lot last week about just the gift of remaining true to ourselves when we're in relationships with other people. And what does that mean in terms of the Christian gaze? So that when I look out at the world, I not only see the world sort of in this light of faith and in this sort of way of freedom and the hope and promise that is there, but also I'm doing that and that's possible because I'm first looking at myself through that lens.
Yeah, I think sometimes we can almost think that the Christian view is just this optimistic supposed to be thing.
Where, yeah, which is not
and
true.
It's not necessarily
it's
true.
It's realism. Yeah,
it's realism.
I think that's the key. Is the Christian gaze can hold the both and, which is that life is full of joys and sorrows, right?
Yeah.
It's full of my relationships are going real well and holy cow, I have to love this other person and they're really hard to love and I don't want to talk to them right now. And that's okay. That can actually be really healthy because it's the Lord working these things out. And so in conversation between Sister and me as we were preparing for the show, I was just sharing that oftentimes, I mean, this has been the last several years in different relationships. Sometimes I won't even say something and people will look at me and they'll be like, hey, don't judge me. And I'm like, are you reading my thoughts? Do you think I'm judging you?
Yeah.
Like, when did I say that's what I was doing? Or, you know, in other words, it can come out. And so we were just sort of talking about what does that even mean? Like, why do I even say that sometimes when I look at someone, usually that I love and I care about. And so the point is I care about their opinion of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, don't judge me. But
yes.
Da, da, da.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think everybody, you know, both male and female, we all feel
it.
A really sensitive where there's a sensitivity or antennas that we have that catch that wind of like, oh, maybe that person thinks bad of me.
Yeah.
Especially like you said, if somebody you care about, and I think that there's a part of that, that, you know, we have a desire to have a good reputation or that we just want to be seen in a good light. And whenever we see somebody maybe questioning us or throwing up a different, like a warning flag, like, hey, you better think about this or have you thought about that? It's almost like, hey, don't look at what I'm doing right now. You're judging me when you do that. Instead of that, why don't you think about all these other good things that I used to do? Like, it's like, pay no attention to what I'm doing right now, which might be really bad. And so I think, yes, there is definitely an area in our relationships, family, friends, sisters, brothers, whatever, spouses, where an action that a person's doing, maybe in our view, harming themselves, also harming the relationship that we're living with them.
Yeah.
And so I would say maybe one of the first questions is that how do I convey what's going on for me? Because it might come off, first of all, like an automatic, you always do this to me, you know, but maybe there's something about what they're doing that does cause me some form of harm. And I think that that's all we can speak about. You know, they say
that's the
talk
key.
In the eye.
Yeah.
I feel when you do this, I feel.
Yes. because that truly though, I think that is the key because I cannot, as much as I would like to sometimes, I can't control another person.
No.
I can't even make them change if they are doing something that's hurting me or themselves. And just reflecting on this in the show, I think, Sister, you were talking about, you know, what does it mean to voice my own needs?
Yeah.
And I personally, even in just the last year, I'm realizing like I'm so bad at that. Like for whatever reason, in different experiences we've all had, you know, I think we might oscillate between different sort of ways that we live our lives through the years and through different just struggles and excitements and joys. And so for me, you know, I'm taking care of different people in my life or people come to me with lots of questions because they think I have all the answers.
Because you're wise.
but so you sort of like, I just realize I've been really unable to sometimes put words to what my needs are even. Like, yeah. And I might know that I have a need, but I'm realizing, oh, yeah, the rest of the people in the world can't read my mind.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes, I feel like when we work with children or anyone of that sort, you're like, hey, use your words. Mm-hmm. Use your word. And we might say that, but it's true. It's like,
yeah.
I need you to be able to communicate to me what's happening on your interior. And I remember you, sister, years ago told me that. I was working with one of my students, and you were like, for her, you'll know that there's a place of maturity that she's reached, that she's not there yet, because she still is not able to communicate to you what's happening on the inside. Mm-hmm. And each of us were on that journey, like, yeah, to ask that question, what's happening inside? Why am I having this reaction, mm-hmm, to you doing this right now? And not that I'm going to even have an answer that comes right away.
Right.
But it's just good that I'm asking the question. And even if that's the truth that I offer to the other person, like, I don't know why, but when you do this, I feel this.
Yeah. And I think there's a downside to not speaking that, because, mm-hmm, I think we see it all over our culture where I cannot handle or deal with something that's happening on an interaction that's maybe really personal or immediate. Mm-hmm. So I go outside and I drive my car like a maniac, or I'm passive aggressive to everybody that has to work under me because I'm over them in my job as a boss, mm-hmm, of somebody. There are ways that frustration still comes out. Mm-hmm. And as any doctor who's worth his salt would say, you can't really help a person if you only look at the symptoms. You've got to try to find what's the root of the problem. Why are they getting sick like this? Why are there these symptoms? So what's the root cause? If the root cause of my anxiety is this relationship, then I've got to be big enough and humble enough to be honest about it, mm-hmm, to the person. Now, will they take me for what I say? That's the big risk.
Yeah.
That's a risk. And it's hard to live in a place where I don't know how what I am saying is going to be taken. I don't know if that person's going to leave me, love me, let me talk, have their own thing that they're going to say then about me. Mm-hmm. When you do this, you make me feel.
Yeah, it's so true.
So I think, you know, but there is a big tendency that we have, even if it's kind of more subtle, where I can't deal with this problem with somebody that I live with. So maybe I'm not mean to people, but I overstress about some other thing, mm-hmm, like how my daughter's doing in dancing, how, you know, I put extra pressure on somebody else.
Other things that maybe I can control more easily.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To give me a sense of my own control. Mm-hmm. There's been a book that's kind of gaining more and more popularity. It's by Jordan Peterson. It's called The 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. And he's talking kind of about this problem that, especially, I would say, on political spheres and social spheres, where people get really riled up about standing up for these different causes, but yet can't deal with what's going on at home. And so he has a chapter in the book. It's something like, you know, take care of your home before you start criticizing the world, or clean up your room, I think is more of it, than before you start criticizing the world. And he said that, you know, it's a real challenge to be true in the truth. And the truth is humility.
Yeah.
Humility is truth. So he's like, don't blame all these other things, but look at the stuff that's going on in your life and what can you do about them? And I just want to quote a little bit about what he said. He said, don't blame, and he names all these other things. Don't reorganize the state until you've ordered your own experience. Have some humility. If you cannot bring peace to your household, how dare you try to rule a city? Let your own soul guide you. Watch what happens over the days and weeks. When you are at work, you will begin to say what you really think. You will start to tell your wife or your husband or your children or your parents what you really want and need. When you know that you have left something undone, you will act to correct the omission. Your head will start to clear up as you stop filling it with lies. Your experience will improve as you stop distorting it with inauthentic actions. You will then begin to discover new, more subtle things that you are doing wrong. Stop doing those too. After some months and years of diligent effort, your life will become simpler and less complicated. And I think, wow, you know, clean up your room. It's like, I can do that, but it's hard.
Yeah, it takes so much work.
It's hard.
And I think that's the point of when we say the word conversion, sometimes people are like, when did you have your conversion? I'm like, what?
Like, I'm having it right now.
I'm not actually.
Can't you tell?
Perfect yet, ever, until heaven.
Yeah.
But truly, I think that's the invitation. And thank you for sharing that quote, sister, of like, how can I cultivate a simplicity in my own heart, which truly is the depth of my thoughts and my intellect and my will? So how can I simplify my thinking?
Yeah.
And for me, that's almost a hysterical question because I'm like, that's complicated.
It is. It's like, talk about spaghetti brain. That's spaghetti brain.
Boom. Yeah. And so, you know, asking the Lord for his wisdom and realizing this is all really good, that if we're even getting to this place where we're asking that question, that means we're on the right track.
And I think having that thought can also caution us before we just blurt out, you blah, 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 you know, blame a person for something or tell them what they probably already know, that they're a wretch in this particular aspect, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, before I just blurt that out, what's happening and what am I really thinking about this? Is this about me or is it about them?
Right. It's actually really funny. So if people know me well, they've seen this side of me. If they don't, they probably haven't. But I call it my like snappy, bratty side that will come out occasionally. Yeah. And people, so I'll express it to them. So usually I'm just saying, hey, right now I'm just being bratty, so don't even worry about it. Like, it's fine. And like, they want to know why usually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying, like, to,
what ticks sister Sarah Denny off or sister
and
for that matter.
So I'm like thinking about it. It's so funny. I was thinking about this recently when someone told me that, and I was like, you know, there's always a reason. And usually what's happening is if I'm acting in a certain way like that, the reason why I haven't expressed it verbally up to that point is because I know I need time to sift through because there were multiple triggers. And in that moment, I know, sure, I could respond, but if I do, it's going to be a purely emotional response. And I don't even know if I'm going to agree with what's going to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So more, it's like this very uncomfortable tension I'm holding that comes out in very interesting ways with shorter responses, but it's better that way because I'm trying to hold, like, you know what? I need to patiently let the emotions pass over this and sift through, like, what's on me and what might be something I'm supposed to share with the people that are around me.
And I think too, maybe we could talk about this after the break, is that, you know, even just to pause like that and to get clear about what I'm thinking it's not necessarily easy, but it can be done. I can share something that I've discovered to help me, especially when I've got like one thought, one belief, just like pounding in my heart going, she never blah, 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 or he never, or he always, or da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know something's not right.
There's
about
absolutes
it.
You telling me about
these absolutes. Mm-hmm. I know that comes from the enemy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, mate, if I'm building something, I'm with that kind of thinking, it might not be the truth.
Amen.
So on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a little bit about some of the stuff I've discovered to help me get clear on my thinking. It might help you guys too. So we'll see you on the other side.
Parish Catechetical Leader and graduate student Melanie Sauney.
I applied for the Master of Arts in Pastoral Leadership at Notre Dame Seminary because I wanted to appropriately answer the call of the new evangelization through my work in parish religious education. Through the Institute, I am receiving precious gifts that sustain me for service to those with whom I minister, both within the parish setting and in my personal life. My spiritual life has deepened, and I have a better grasp of church teaching. I also continue to be part of these amazing communities where I find the abundant strength and support needed in order to faithfully carry out the ministries to which I have been called.
Notre Dame Seminary offers convenient schedules and affordable degree programs for deacons, religious, catechists, lay ministers, and all who seek to grow in faith and service, serving students from Lake Charles to the Alabama Gulf Coast. For more information, email newevangelization@nds.edu. Notre Dame Seminary, for priests, for the faithful, for the world.
Welcome back to Dot Our Eyes. I am Sarah Denny, and I'm joined with my sweet friend, Sister Tracy. And we, the last half of this show, we're talking about the gift of coming to know ourselves and trying to share that reality with others, especially when perhaps they are looking at us and something is happening and perhaps we're even saying like, hey, don't judge me.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
And what
they
is
don't
it?
Like what we have to say.
Yeah. Like, are you judging you? Am I judging you? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But truly, then how do we, in a sense, do our own work to even come to understand what's happening within? So that's the question we really want to delve into in this second half of the show, because reality is that I cannot control another person.
Yeah.
And even if they are hurting me, and even if I really, really love them, and even if I say how they're hurting me, at the end of the day, they're still free to choose.
Yeah.
And I think especially as women, we can struggle with this because we enter sort of this maternal caretaking mode that I'm like, mm-hmm. I can change him.
Yes, like, I will save you. Da-da. I will save you.
And like, does the Lord use each of us in very particular ways to help people? Yes. But you know what? At the end of the day, that really is based upon the Lord's power.
Yeah.
Our openness, but as a very key part of this, the other person's openness and willingness and call to respond in that situation, mm-hmm. which we can't even know because, you know, like we can only know ourselves.
We can also point to the fact that Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit always works in invitation.
Amen.
So
Amen.
It's our choice
it's always
to
free.
Enter. Yeah.
I've been reflecting recently, like, true strength. And I think St. Francis de Sales said, there's nothing so strong as true gentleness and nothing so gentle as true strength.
Mm.
And just thinking about like, wow, like when someone is strong physically and or spiritually, there's something deep within them mm-hmm. that I feel like they know how to wield their power.
Yes.
So that it's not a weapon of manipulation,
right.
But instead it's always an invitation. I will not force you.
Uh-huh.
Instead, I invite you.
You know how Jesus pronounces this beatitude, blessed are the meek. We think it's like, blessed are the nice people. But actually,
not the doormats. It's not what he's saying.
No, meekness in his time and in the way the word was used is that it's one who has a sword, but knows when to sheathe it,
mm-hmm.
knows how to wield it, or knows that gentleness, even if you have a sword, is a more weighty gentleness than if you had no sword and you were just being nice.
Exactly. You know? Though that's so true.
So I think that invitation to us points to, you know, well, okay, so how can I in this situation, in a situation where I find myself, maybe I'm hurt, maybe I'm seeing something, maybe I'm wondering, maybe it's just a contentious time, tension is there. How do I express myself? And so before the break, we kind of got to that point where sometimes though, as women, we kind of get lost in our thoughts. Like we get wrapped up in a reaction like, you know, this is just disturbing me. This is, he's wrong for that. You know, he needs to grow up, whatever these statements are. And we sort of, every time we see that person doing that thing, we think that thought like, oh, I wish she would just grow up, or mm-hmm. I wish she would just listen to me. And I have come up against that many, many times. And I was in a conversation one time with one of our sisters, and I was sharing that with her because I was at a point where I had to really make a big decision. I had mm-hmm. to really do something. And in doing that thing, I had to be able to be free to move. And I wasn't. I was finding that I was just locked in this idea that if I say yes, people are going to think I'm this.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I say no, I'm going to think I'm this, you know?
Yeah.
And a failure or proud or whatever.
Basically, your hands felt like they were tied.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, have you ever heard of The Work? I said, what's that? She said, it's this lady. Her name is Byron Katie. She said, I know that's a unique name, but that's her name. She said, listen, I don't agree with her whole philosophy of life. I don't think she's Jesus, but I think that she's come up with a tool that's helped me to get clearer in my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is, you can go online, thework.com. It's just a process of critically, and by critical, not being negative, but just seeing the whole picture of looking at thoughts that you have and seeing if perhaps that's not the sum total of every thought you have in regards to this person. This is what she says. She says, our minds work is to think. And so you think thoughts and then you find evidence that supports those thoughts. Fine. But sometimes the thoughts we have aren't the whole truth. Mm-hmm. They're part of it. And she says, with a little bit of critical thinking, questioning, we can discover within ourselves that we think this thought, they always say blah, 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 or she never listens to me. She says, maybe you have evidence for that. In that situation, this person never listens to me. But through that process that she has of actually questioning your thoughts, you actually come to see that I believe that's true, but I also believe that she listens to me. Like the exact opposite. Yeah. And I can find evidence for it. And that's part of it, is actually three pieces of evidence, three times, even in that conversation where she was listening to me. Mm-hmm. Or she said there's turnarounds of the thought. You know, if you say she never listens to me, then turn it around to the self. I don't listen to me. In that situation, when I'm believing this thought that she never listens to me, I'm not even present to myself. To listen to what I'm actually thinking in that moment.
Yeah.
And how is that true? I can find three pieces of evidence of ways that that's true. Or I don't listen to her. Mm-hmm. And I can find in that situation, this is the thing, it keeps you right in that moment. Because sometimes we get lost in the story and we lose the work of taking the time to say in that moment what was happening. What I found is that when I do that, that big fat thought that was taking up all that space in my head mm-hmm. falls away. Not completely. That just means then I have to go back to it and do a little bit more work on it. But what I found is that that has been a tool that God has used to free me from beliefs that are based on lies.
Yeah, which I think is such the key, right? So usually when I'm reacting to someone else and what they're doing to me, I'm only going to have a strong reaction if I have first experienced this either from them or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And it really is illuminating in terms of, oh, I'm really living out of this sort of lie. And or, sister, you always say like the enemy works in absolutes. Like,
yes,
it's always going to be like this. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think as you've shared before in other shows about a CDM, we talk about hope as sort of the antidote to that in small steps. It's like, okay, God never works in such a way that in an experience, I don't have hope.
Right.
Right. Like God is hope. Yeah. So where it's almost like I need to sit in the very uncomfortable space that is and say, okay, Jesus, where are you in this? Yeah. Like what's you and what's not you?
Yeah. Because there's more to me than meets the eye. There's more. Yeah. There's more to even your belief about a moment's in time.
When there's so much more in that moment than my cute little finite mind can really understand.
Yeah,
like, which is, I know I've said this verse before, is like my life verse, but in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says that like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding or intellect or insight. And all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Like my insight or understanding, sometimes I'm wrong.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And also like, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, but I just want them to be happy. And they're doing something that like, you know, I remember seeing, talking to a friend and her mother was completely intent on never leaving her house. And she was like, she's sick. She doesn't want to leave. And the fact is that she probably was, but at that point, the daughter could only do what she could do.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, she had to say her belief that her mother wasn't happy. Was that completely true? Maybe she could find ways that her mom was actually happy doing what she was doing.
Yeah.
And that maybe there was a good there, even though. So it's not to say that there's sicknesses involved sometimes and that there are things that we can do. We can intervene.
Yes, of course.
Definitely.
Yes.
But there are moments where we have to let go. And really, this is a challenge to trust that God will draw through into that person from their freedom to say, maybe this isn't the best way for me. Maybe I should make a choice here.
Mm-hmm. That God is bigger and is working out everything for good.
Yes.
Truly, if he is that merciful, which he is, then he's working on everything together.
Because sometimes it's a battle of wills. It's like, just because you want it for me, I don't want it.
Yeah. So true. Especially with the Lord.
I'm like,
what?
Or with people that we love. No, like, you know what? I don't like chocolate because you like chocolate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I like vanilla, even though I like chocolate. Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, truly just in this space, we want to just invite us to prayer as we do with all of our shows. And mm-hmm. the two verses that are sort of resounding in my heart, they're not in the same chapter even. But number one is take every thought captive to obey Christ. And number two is that perfect love casts out all fear. Mm. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would come into this space with us. We ask that you would allow us to truly be open to your perfect love, which does cast out all fear. And in that sense, Lord, we ask that you would give us the gaze that is your sacred heart, that we can see ourselves first and foremost as you do. Lord, I ask that each of us might be unafraid to approach you and ask, Lord, where can I grow? Where can I change in ways that maybe my thought patterns, especially where it all starts, or my actions, are not life-giving for myself? And Lord, to whom am I called to offer up to you in freedom and almost maybe in a merciful just sacrifice to trust that you know better for them than I could ever know, and that you desire each of our wholeness, our holiness, that your will for our lives is our sanctification and our deepening in love relationship with you.
Lord, we also bring to you those relationships right now that we're living that have their rocky moments, that have their times of disagreement and contention and fear, and where we are at a loss, where we feel that we've tried every possible means of bettering the situation, and we're really at a loss. So Lord, at this moment, we want to surrender this to you. We want to surrender to your heart, to your goodness, all that situation is, to ask and to invite you in, because you make ways where there are no ways. You create possibilities where our minds fail. And we ask you, Lord, to open us up to you, to help us to see and to follow your way, to let you think in us and act in us and work in us, and to follow your love, your mercy in everything.
Yes, Father. And so again, Lord, we just thank you for this day. And we just ask that in these places that maybe are uncomfortable, Lord, that you would give us the courage to be present to our own realities, Lord, and to choose to trust you in each moment, that your merciful heart does have such just abundance in the plan for our lives, Lord, and that you desire us not just to survive or to get by, but you truly desire us to thrive. And we ask Our Lady to just intercede for all of us right now. Yes. We just consecrate our lives and our vocations and even these struggles and ways that we view ourselves to her Immaculate Heart, and are just so thankful for her loving gaze and for her maternal protection. And also we ask that all of the angels would intercede for us, and St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, that they would lead us and guard us and defend us and guide us on our journey homeward. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so very much for listening. We hope that something we said today is going to help you, and we hope to see you and hear you again next time. God bless.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.